Children, today, as you know, is the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. And I'm not going to go too long into the conversion story itself because you kind of know that. You just read it in the epistle if you were following along in your missal. And we've heard it before many a times that Saul is in the desert and our Lord comes as a flash of light and knocks him off his horse. He's blinded, and he hears the voice coming out and asking him why he is persecuting him. And at that point, he has no idea what's going on. He asks, "Who are you, Lord?" And he finds out that it is indeed Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that at that point, he realizes what he's been doing, persecuting this new group of faithful, the Christians, up to that point. He realizes what he's been doing is wrong. Our Lord tells him to go into town, and he meets Ananias there, and he is under his care, and then eventually his blindness is cured, and he's baptized, and he becomes St. Paul. He becomes that great apostle from there, you know, and he goes out and does our Lord's work rather than his own work. So that's the brief overview. Like I said, you just read it. What I want to talk to you about today is something a little different, something that you might not have thought of, and that is to illustrate St. Paul's conversion as a centerpiece between two other events that we celebrated during Christmastide. That's one of the most amazing things about Christmas time for me, is that how many of the feasts are all kind of interconnected together. And so we see that in two separate events that revolve around either side of St. Paul's conversion. The first of those events is the martyrdom of St. Stephen, the event that really probably led to his conversion, because St. Paul was there. St. Paul oversaw those people stoning St. Stephen to death. He was in charge of them, if you will, and he even held their coats so that their arms could be free so they could better throw rocks at St. Stephen. He was for that persecution. But what do we see happen with St. Stephen? But he prays for the forgiveness of his own persecutors. He asked God to have mercy on them. And with that action, he's offering up his suffering, he's offering up the pain, he's offering up his own life, and even the last words of his life, for their spiritual benefit. And we know that prayer and sacrifice works. We know very well that those things really did matter, and ultimately that is what led to the grace to St. Paul having an open heart, being open to the aspect of conversion to the Catholic faith, to the Christianity, and to being a follower of Jesus, even though he had persecuted those followers up to this point. It all happened by that one simple action of St. Stephen offering up his prayers and his sacrifices for his persecutors. And what a great event that was, because St. Paul converted more people to the faith than any other person that's lived. So that great apostle wouldn't have been there had it not been that he persecuted St. Stephen first and stoned him to death, allowing St. Stephen to make that heroic action of offering up his sufferings. Now, you might ask yourself, what's the second event? Well, that comes after St. Paul's conversion. Yesterday's feast was the glorious feast of St. Timothy. And St. Timothy was one of the fruits of St. Paul's labor. He went far and wide, St. Paul that is, preaching and teaching people the faith, converting many souls to Christ, building up the kingdom of God on earth. And his greatest conversion, his pride and joy of all, if you could have a favorite convert, if you will, it was St. Timothy. He was the closest to him. He was his most dear disciple. And he followed him around. He learned how to be such a great preacher from St. Paul. He went out there working in the mission fields like St. Paul. St. Paul made him a bishop to help him convert souls. And in the end, after all that time being the nearest and dearest friend, the most trusted confidant and closest disciple to St. Paul, how does St. Timothy end up? He gains the crown of martyrdom by that same means, by stoning to death, just like St. Stephen did. And in that action, we could see St. Paul as the centerpiece of those two stoning martyrdoms. One is by, before his conversion, the direct actions of him to persecute the church. Yet St. Stephen overcomes those things and perseveres in prayer and sacrifice for St. Paul's conversion. And then the second, if you will, is kind of a fruit of that conversion, a continuing fruit of the offering of St. Stephen, that St. Paul then is the shining example and the good influence and the drawing to Christian perfection that enables St. Timothy to not only embrace the faith, but also encourages and inspires him to be able to have the fortitude to stand up to the faith to the point of imitating the very same type of action as St. Stephen, gaining that same reward, the palm of martyrdom, and eternal bliss in heaven, because St. Paul was such an inspiration to him. And so we think for ourselves, children, what can we do? Now, chances are, somebody's not going to stone us to death. I don't think that's in your cards. But what we do know is that each and every day, we're going to have little trials that come our way. Sometimes you're not going to want to do your schoolwork. Sometimes, or any time, you're not going to want to do your homework. You're not going to want to necessarily clean your room. You're not going to always want to listen to your parents and what they tell you to do. You're not always going to want to necessarily do the actions that are hard in this life. And we have a choice to make. We can either just dismiss them and do them begrudgingly, or we can offer them up as little tiny sacrifices. Because by offering them up well, that's kind of like St. Stephen offering up his big sufferings that gained souls. And we know that by offering our little sufferings, those things can do really good things for souls. That can be the means to opening somebody's heart for conversion down the line. We might not even see it in our life, but we could be the instrument to help save souls by offering up those little sacrifices. And then, in imitation of St. Paul, we can also do good for souls like St. Timothy, by leading that good Christian life ourselves, by being that good example, by always being ready, if we need to talk about the faith to somebody, being ready to talk about it, being prayerful, being a good example, being a very moral and upright Christian person. That good example, in and of itself, can inspire others to do exactly the same. And thus, each and every day, even in those little things, we work towards for ourselves and for others that same ultimate reward, eternal bliss in heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.